You're listening to Coast Community Radio. This is Patrick Webb from the Daily Estorian, and this is After Deadline. Today we have two guests. Welcome to Janet Evans, who's director of the Clatsop County Juvenile Department. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much.
And our other guest is Jill Quackenbush, who's the Prevention Supervisor for Clatsop County Juvenile Department. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, thank you.
We're going to be talking about problems that teenagers have, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and other issues. We have a lot to cover in this half hour. But let's start briefly by talking about what these two ladies do in the community. Janet, what does the director of the Clatsop County Juvenile Department do?
Well, Clatsop County Juvenile Department is kind of a unique model because we have not only juvenile delinquency, including probation and juvenile detention, but we also have prevention and what used to be the Commission on Children and Families that's transitioning from Commission on Children and Families into Early Learning and a Youth Development Council, which is part of a state movement. So we really address youth, high-risk youth from birth to 20, 25, who are either at risk of having some issues, social issues, or juvenile delinquency.
Okay, well, thank you. And now, Jill, your role as prevention supervisor, that covers what my mother would call a multitude of sins. Tell me about your work.
Well, as a prevention supervisor at the juvenile department, I'm actually one of a multitude of prevention coordinators in the state of Oregon. There's one of me in each of the counties in the nine confederated tribes, and we work through a federal block grant to reduce substance abuse in local communities. We're unique here. I'm the only prevention coordinator in the state of Oregon that is located in a juvenile department. So we are kind of leading the cause here and showing a new model of how we can reach the full spectrum from prevention to delinquency as well and partner our efforts together. I supervise the prevention programs at the department. Right now, one of our main focuses is around parenting education.
Okay. Well, that's given us the background about which we'll be talking. Let's talk generally about the state of the state or the state of the region juvenile problems, alcohol, drugs, and other things. Where are we? Things getting better or things getting worse?
Well, I think things are getting better. From a delinquency perspective, juvenile crime, both locally and nationally, is going down. I think the trends are to focus on evidence-based practices that target those high-risk areas so that we're just not, you know, we're not taking a shotgun approach and just throwing everything at a youth who's in trouble or having some issues. We're really targeting those high-risk areas that lead to delinquency, targeting them with services, and making sure that we're aligning the appropriate resources with those needs so that we are seeing fewer and fewer kids being referred for juvenile crime.
What sort of services are we talking about?
So we offer a series of cognitive restructuring groups starting at an early education level or early school level, like a girls' circle program, for example, that goes into the middle schools and the elementary schools and really targets some high-risk areas that might lead to delinquency later and teaches kids new skills so that they are thinking about what they're doing before they're just reacting. We also have a program in our detention facility, which is a 120-day program that offers a multitude of cognitive restructuring groups along with mindfulness so that we are helping youth not only to learn new ways of thinking about what they're doing, but to take it at a deeper level and really learn to calm themselves down and focus and make necessary changes so that this doesn't become a permanent lifestyle.
We're in an area where a lot of sort of jargony type words are used. But so is there an easy way to sort of explain delinquency to our listeners? That clearly there's an official definition, but what does that really mean to the layperson?
So when we're describing delinquency, we're really talking about youth from 10 to 12 all the way up to the age of 25 who might commit a crime, that it might commit an act that, if committed as an adult, would be considered a crime. So in the juvenile world, it's not really a criminal act, because our focus in Oregon is really around allowing kids opportunity to make changes. And so they're not considered criminal acts. They're just an act, if committed as an adult, would be a crime. And in addition to that, it might include status offenses like runaway, MIP, a minor in possession of alcohol, or less than an ounce of marijuana, and some violations that are really also not considered crime. So delinquency acts could vary from an actual crime or a violation, but it's engaging in those high-risk behaviors that might lead to future criminal behavior.
Well, now, Jill, you prevention is in your job title, and always has been. What's your take on sort of how well we're doing in some of the preventative efforts?
I think that when we're able to actually implement prevention efforts, we do quite well. We use what's called evidence-based programs that have demonstrated to show positive outcomes. The problem is that we're not able to implement a lot of them, and we work under grants that come and go, and so we might have a program running for some years, and then we lose funding, and then, you know, we're on to the next greatest thing, and so it's another program. So to be able to get, you know, in prevention, we know that it can take a decade of work to see a difference. And so to be able to have consistent strategies that are out there, it's really difficult to be able to have those kind of measurements. What I can say as far as what we know that our youth is that most youth in Clatsop County are not using alcohol and drugs.
Most are not.
Most are not.
Okay.
And that's contrary to sort of the talk that's out there. And we hear data, we hear things, and we tend to think and perceive that it's horrible and everybody's using. But what the youth report to us is that that most youth are not using. Some are, and there are some trends that we need to be aware of. Our trend for marijuana use, for instance, has been increasing over the last 10 years. So we really need to be keeping an eye on that and be looking at what we need to do, especially with some of the new legislation and in Washington State, what it is that we're going to be needing to do around prevention to help curb
that. Now, you're referring to the fact that Washington State voters have approved recreational use of some amounts of marijuana.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that will come in Oregon? And if so, what do you need to tackle it?
I can't say what's going to happen in Oregon. What we know in prevention is that when there's easy access to a substance, youth are more likely to use, whether it's marijuana or alcohol or anything else.
Why is there easy access to marijuana? Because it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's a dangerous drug. Obviously, there's an element where it's used for medical purposes, mm-hmm. under certain what are supposed to be strict conditions. But why is there such an easy access to it?
I can't answer that question as well, but when marijuana is widely used in homes, then it's easy to get it there. Youth do report that it is easy to get marijuana. Actually, the state of Oregon in our student wellness survey in 2012 just started asking the question of youth of where do you get your marijuana? And I think that it was, you know, around 14-15% said that they did get it from a medical marijuana holder, card holder.
And what were the other sources?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, you are listening to After Deadline here on Coast Community Radio. Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian, and our guests today are Janet Evans, who's director of the Clatsop County Juvenile Department, and her colleague Jill Quackenbush, who's the prevention supervisor with the department. We're talking about juvenile delinquency and other issues in the community. Well, let's look at alcohol, because I see alcohol as something that the community, one of the demons that the community has dealt with. Obviously, for adults, it's a legal drug that's in beverages, beer, wine, spirits, etc. But for youth, obviously, it's illegal for them to have it purchased for them and for them to possess it. How are we doing in the prevention efforts in that department?
We have worked really hard. We have a Reduce Underage Drinking Task Force that is part of our Prevention Works Coalition, and partnered a lot with the law enforcement as far as looking at, again, the access issue. We know that in Clatsop County, most of our youth are not getting their alcohol from the stores or from retailers or from bars. We've worked really closely with law enforcement doing what is called decoy operations, where they go in with a minor and check to see if they're being asked for ID. And I think that those efforts are paying off because our youth are saying that they're not getting it from there, but they are getting it from the home or from a family member. And that could be with or without the family member's knowledge. So they could be taking it from the parent and the parent doesn't know, or they could be being provided by a parent or somebody else within the family.
Isn't there a sanction for providing liquor to minors? I was in a store, I think, only yesterday, and there were all sorts of tags over the bottles warning me and others not to be providing them. Is that not the case?
There is a furnishing sanction for adults purchasing and furnishing
alcohol to a minor. It's a criminal offense, isn't it?
It is a criminal offense. However, a parent can provide alcohol to their child in their own home.
Oh, okay. I don't know that many people knew that, but that clarifies that, and another good reason for having this program. Well, what's your take on the effect of alcohol in the community, Janet Evans?
Well, I think alcohol has a number of effects on the community. Not everybody who drinks commits crime. However, substance use does correlate with criminal activity. So your judgment is impaired. People are more apt to engage in fights or do other activities under the influence of alcohol or other drugs than they would normally. So there is a correlation between crime and substance use as a whole.
And do you see that, is there any one thing that we need to do with alcohol issues that we could sort of not necessarily snap our fingers and make everything perfect, but is there one strategy or one aspect that you'd like to see the community embrace as far as how it approaches alcohol?
Well, I think it's true of alcohol as well as any other drug. We need to be a good role model for our youth. And so if we're drinking at home, and most people who drink at home think this is okay activity, but if you're drinking in excess or you're demonstrating that alcohol is either a tension reliever or it's the vehicle to have a great time, and you're actually setting the stage to say alcohol is not only a good thing, but it's something that as adults, you know, it's a reasonable adult would continue to use alcohol for those purposes. I think we're setting an example for kids. And so we have to be really aware of those examples. And I think that there are some areas of zero tolerance that we need to adopt. So if we see somebody drinking and driving, we need to be very clear about that. That is not okay.
And such as what? What should one do if you see someone in that position?
Well, I was just talking to somebody the other day about how easy it is to look the other way if a relative or a friend is drinking and driving and they have children and our children are getting in the car with them. You know, we tend to turn the other cheek to those kinds of behaviors because it normalizes. We normalize that behavior. So if we say, no, this is not acceptable, my child cannot get in the car with you while you're drinking, I think we're not only just protecting our children, but we're also setting an example of no tolerance in those areas. And I think it's really important to be aware of our own biases when we're making decisions around alcohol or drug. And I think we all have them. And it's not to say that we demonize people who drink alcohol or use drugs. I think what we do is we just become very aware of the potential dangers around setting that example for youth, the dangers in terms of our own lives and what we're presenting. And I think that just comes with an awareness.
I was just going to say, it's especially complicated in our community, too, as we have an economy that's really focused on the tourism. And so many of our events include alcohol at the events. And that's how adults are, you know, they're going out and they're dancing and they're having a good time. Many of these events also are touted as family-focused events. And so we need to be looking at, you know, is this something that we want to condone as a family-based activity, or do we want to look at that, you know, if we're going to be having alcohol at an event or an activity, that's an adult activity. And when we have family-focused events, that maybe those could be non-alcoholic.
I just sort of devil's advocate here. Are we doing a good job in that department? Because it seems like we do have a lot of events and activities that focus on having fun, but also they have a beer garden or alcohol sales and things like that. Could we be more vigorous in splitting them off with the family events that didn't have alcohol, do you think?
I think in this community we could. The challenge is, again, is that we have, when we have these events, a lot of them are to bring people into our community and to raise money. So when we know that our chambers of commerce are supported by those funds that are coming in, those also go back into the community. So it's a very difficult conversation to have. And I think, as Janet said, we don't want to demonize the behavior. We are adults, and legally adults can drink. But to just be really aware of the messages that we are sending. And if we do really want to do something about the problem, that as adults, we're all going to have to look at our own behaviors and our own decisions. And it's going to be difficult conversations.
Well, and I think, just not to interrupt, but I also think it's really important to demonstrate we can have a good time without having to have alcohol stimulate that. I think we could show, you know, you can be wild and crazy and have a great time totally sober. That I think if we're demonstrating that to our kids, we can relax without having a drink first. We can have a difficult conversation without having to get courage from a bottle. We can do all of the things that you're doing even without alcohol, and I think that's a really good way to show to our kids too. Listen, you don't need an external source to give you the courage to do the things you want to do. Do it because you are who you are, and be genuine and have a good time. And I think that'll be an important message that parents can give to their kids.
Well, that's a good summary. Thank you. You're listening to After Deadline here on Coast Community Radio. Our guests are Janet Evans from the Juvenile Department and Jill Quackenbush, who's Prevention Supervisor with the department. And you were talking about adult role models, helping out youth and helping youth to make good decisions. There are various mentoring opportunities in the community. Would you share about what opportunities are available and how you think they work?
Mentoring is one of the most effective prevention practices that are out there. We know that youth that are engaged with a trusting adult are less likely to get involved with criminal behavior. They're less likely to engage in early initiation of substance use. So we promoting mentoring as an effective prevention practice is a great thing to do. We have the CADDY mentoring program at the Juvenile Department, which is Caring Adults, Developing Youth. There's also the Lunch Buddies mentoring program, which adults meet with an elementary age student once a week in the classroom. CADDY is a community-based one, so adults and youth can go out and do things in the community.
How does that work? I've seen that name in the paper a couple of times and different mentions of it. How does that work, the CADY program?
Well, referrals can come from schools or from agencies to the Juvenile Department program. Laura Parker is currently our coordinator. She matches they go through a rigorous background check to make sure that the adult is appropriate, but we take volunteers who are interested in mentoring youth. Then they're matched with kids that are being referred to the program because they've been identified of having certain high risk or certain areas that might need just an extra boost. And then the mentor works with the youth. They go on outings and other activities. The mentors help them with school processes and really just become this adult that offers a lot of support to the child.
The formal mentoring programs are a one way, but also looking at other ways that people can mentor. Maybe they can't make a year-long, the CADDY mentoring and Lunch Buddies is a year-long commitment. Usually those mentors end up with a much longer commitment. I think Laura last night was talking about an 8-year commitment. But even things like coaching, even if you don't have a child, but if you have a skill in a particular sport, coaches are so greatly needed for Little League sports in this community. And so having adults that would be willing to help out, even if their kid isn't the one that's playing the sport, or looking at after-school programs, if you have a specific hobby or skill that you can do, going in and teaching that skill to young people through an after-school program.
And professions, you know, librarians, teachers, juvenile department folks, every parent, every adult who's connected to any kids can be good as a mentor. Most kids who have come from really difficult situations who make their way out and become successful have talked about an adult who's connected with them at some point in their life that really believed in them and really could see a difference and really encouraged them to make good choices in their life. And I think, you know, all of us could use a leg up at some point. So if we're a parent and we have other people's kids there, we can also be supportive of them. We can celebrate our teachers and really recognize the really important job they do. School counselors, Girl Scout and Boy Scout leaders, 4-H leaders, there are people within the community everywhere can reach out to a youth and really support the positive pieces of being a youth and really encourage them to do well.
If people want to contact you or others for to sort of step forward to help, is there a phone number or website available that we might be able to broadcast that would be appropriate? Or perhaps we could get that later.
It's the 323-325-8601 is the juvenile department phone number. Laura Parker is in charge of the CADDY mentoring program, and we also have a website, the County Juvenile Department, if you go onto the Clatsop County website.
Okay.
And the Prevention Works Coalition is on Facebook, so we encourage people to go and like the Prevention Works Coalition on Facebook, and there's always information that we put out there as well, ways that people can get involved in different activities that are happening in the community.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first, and we will repeat that phone number before the program ends.
And you could call Jill or I at any time, and we'd be glad to connect folks. So if you don't get a hold of anybody immediately, feel free to call us. We'd be glad to help at that same phone number.
Outstanding. Well, good. Well, now, as we get into our last few minutes here, I'd like you to talk about the personal rewards of doing what you do. You deal in both of you, in a very difficult area. Janet Evans, what's the reward of doing what you do?
Well, there are just too many to say.
Give it a try.
I have the absolute best job ever. I mean, the idea of being able to peel back the layers of delinquency or kids that are in need and really be able to see them as kids again is really a gift, knowing that we make a difference and that, you know, just touching the lives, we may not be able to change them completely, but we walk a mile with them, and to be able to make those changes is truly rewarding. In addition to that, working with some amazing folks at the juvenile department, including Jill and the prevention people, and really making a difference in the community, I think is a tremendous reward. And our staff are just amazing people, so I'm very proud to be there.
Well, I see Jill Quackenbush's head swelling here as a director of the department is talking about it. But Jill, prevention, I mean, you're against stuff. You're sort of, how do you turn that negative into the positive? What's the reward for you?
I think that prevention is positive. It's about creating a healthy community, and that's what I want for my child to grow up in, and that's the kind of community that I want to live in. So I think prevention's very rewarding in that way, and it's exciting because I get to work with multiple sectors within the community. I'm working with the schools, I'm working with youth, I'm working with parents, I'm working with law enforcement, community members, business, faith community. I just get to interact with so many different folks in different sectors in the community that it makes the job fun. It's different every day, with the goal of creating community and a healthy community.
And are there frustrations that perhaps the sort of success stories aren't immediate? They are long term. How does that play into your sort of feeling of satisfaction in what you do?
I think that I'm okay with the success being longer because I understand that about prevention, and I see many successes that are more short term. I see that the parents that come to our parenting classes, I see them bonding with their kids and learning new skills, and the smiles of the kids and the interaction between them. I see high school youth that are out making a difference in their school and community and feeling proud of themselves and getting recognition for the good work that they do. So there's plenty. I could go on and on about the things that I see every day that make it worthwhile.
What about the future? I mean, you hear these sort of the old timers say, "Oh, kids today, they're fill in the blank," you know, and usually it's a blankety blank. Are kids getting better? Are kids any different from they were years ago? Or is it just a different society that they live in with this access to drugs, alcohol, and the media? I'm not even going to get into the fact the media doesn't particularly help in this department sometimes. Things getting better, things getting worse, things just the same, just different problems. What do you think?
I think things get better all the time. I think we get smarter all the time. Our kids are getting smarter. Technology has increased this world of knowledge. I think even in the despair that I think we hear in communities and the hardships people are facing financially and the challenges that people are facing, there is also a lot of hope. And I think we're working together more as a community. You know, we're recognizing that we make a difference. You know, all the money in the world poured into a resource may not change something, but one hand, you know, reaching out to somebody else can make a difference. So I'd like to believe that things are getting better. Kids are kids, and they're going to have struggles, and they're going to have frustration, but I think things are getting much better, and they're going to continue to get better.
Well, Jill Quackenbush, what's your take on that?
I would have to agree. I think our world is changing, and it always changes, and it always evolves. And young people are resilient, and they're also very smart. And so they can adapt, and I think it's up to us as adults to help that adaption and help them, you know, survive and be successful.
Okay. Well, you have been listening to After Deadline here on Coast Community Radio. Our guests, Janet Evans, Director of the Clatsop County Juvenile Department. Thank you, Janet. And Jill Quackenbush, who's the Prevention Supervisor with the department. Let me give you that phone number again if you're interested in mentoring the CADY. Well, tell me what that acronym is again.
Caring Adults Developing Youth.
Caring Adults Developing Youth. Okay, what a great name. But you can get in touch with Laura Parker at 503-325-8601. And please step forward. That would be a good thing to do. So any parting thoughts in our last minute? Have we covered a multitude of sins in an appropriate manner?
Well, I appreciate you having us here to talk about kids. I know so much of what we hear is negative, but I think there is a lot of hope for our community, and I think we're all working together to do good things. So I really appreciate you highlighting that as well.
And Jill?
Yes, thank you again. And it really does take a community. So for folks that are out there listening, to consider what everyone can do in their own little niche that will support young people and involve them.
Well, good. Well, you've been listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. This is Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian, and signing off with thanks to guests Janet Evans and Jill Quackenbush, and good luck in your future endeavors, and thanks for all you do in the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.